Time for the King's kids to be dismissed, kindergarten through fifth grade, and pray for them as they go, pray for the workers as they go as well. Jordan Manley is not with us today. She's in North Carolina, and she injured her ankle. It's not broken, but you know how things like that are. So she's been treating that for a couple of days, and hopefully we'll be able to travel back this week. So pray for her. But so she has turned it over to other people who are very, very committed and very capable. So, and their ankles are fine. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 11, and chapter 11 is just an amazing chapter. I don't know about you, but I really was hoping we'd have church services today. You know, I'm so happy that we can. And, you know, the church needs power in two ways, so we've got it in both ways today. So we're in chapter 11, verses 30 and 31, and there'll be some other things we'll consider from other passages today. So I'm using a clicker today, so it's click or not. Sometimes, there we go. Faith that brings down the walls. Now, many of you are familiar with the story of Joshua, and you're familiar with the song, Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. I will not be singing that, but there you go. And for the practice, you probably didn't know I practiced my sermons. I know it doesn't show, but I don't really practice, you can tell that. But this week I did. I walked around the cemetery wall six times, and then for each day, and then the seven times, and the wall fell down. I don't know if you know, one of our cemetery walls fell down. Well, that was my fault. I was practicing, you know, for this sermon. I didn't realize it would work that way. I'm sure that's called a lie, but it's just kidding if I tell you I was lying. Anyway, we won't get into the ethics right now. Faith that brings down the walls. I think this might have to click from this side. There we go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. We'll take it a little, just one verse at a time. There are only two verses in Hebrews. The faith of the faithful. Now, I don't know if you know the background of what happens in this passage. We'll get into some of that in a moment with Joshua, and Moses has passed away, and Joshua has replaced Moses at God's, according to God's will and his direction. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Now that is an amazing story. I don't even know all of what it means and how it actually happened. I just know God did it. You know, God does a lot of things that we think, well, that seemed like a natural phenomenon. Or maybe something about the acoustics, the way they did things, and all of that. You can do everything you want to that way. God did it. And so let's look at Joshua chapter 6, some verses there. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors." Now, I put "the Lord said" in golden letters there so you can get a golden opportunity to understand the gold that's in here. Chapter 5 of Joshua. Joshua is confronted, and someone appears to him called the captain of the host of the Lord. He has his sword drawn, and he's standing in front of Joshua, and Joshua is very courageous, and sometimes he didn't seem to be courageous, but he was courageous at this moment. And the southern translations, "Are you for us or against us?" Now that's the southern translation. "Are you for us or against us? You're on our side, or you're on, whose side are you on?" is what he's asking this captain of the host of the Lord. He called himself, he said, "I'm the captain of the host of the Lord." He pretty much wanted him to know, "I'm not on your side or their side, I have my own side." The captain of the host of the Lord is the one that the Bible says here in verse 2 of chapter 6, "The Lord said." The captain of the host of the Lord is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's It's called a Christophany in the Old Testament. When Christ shows up and appears in a physical form of some sort, he looks like a man, appears as a man, the captain of the host of the Lord. And angel of the Lord we talked about, this is another one of those Christophanies where you think, what is going on here? We know it was God because it says, the Lord said, and he's still having a conversation with the captain of the host of the Lord. Now, you know there are no chapters in the original writing. Chapter 4. Chapter 5. No. Just continues. So chapter 5 goes right into chapter 6. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. Everybody in Jericho was scared to death because they had heard what God had done. At least now, being a pagan belief kind of people, they probably thought some god somewhere did something, maybe multiple gods, maybe their people are just really good. All the things you hear, and when you, it happens here, it happens in our modern world. We're so smart we don't even know what we're doing, but we think we're smart. We think, oh, look what that army did, look what happened over here, and look what happened over there. Pay close attention what's going to happen in Israel, what's going to happen in Israel and Lebanon and Gaza and all the things that are happening. Just pay close attention what happens. You may think somehow Israel has an incredible army. The Six-Day War comes to mind, and different things. Enemies all around Israel, they attack Israel, and Israel wins. Boy, Israel was so good, you stop that. God's in this. So, well, why would God be for Israel when Israel has rejected God? Have you read the Bible? Sometimes God takes a pagan army, an idolatrous army, and defeats Israel to teach them a lesson, that they should depend on him only. And sometimes he uses all kinds of things in our lives that we don't even know about, imperfect people, imperfect circumstances, to move us to where he wants us to be. And he provides and protects, and he also destroys. This is a part of the Bible we don't want to read. We want to close one eye when we read the part when destruction takes place. Well, when God says to Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors, that means the king and the valiant warriors are going to go away. Somebody's going to die here. A lot of people. Now, that's the way it is. So, well, Pastor, I don't understand that. Well, I am the president of the club that doesn't understand. I don't understand either. I just tell you like it is. This is the way it works, and it's still working that way today. God has protected us. You're here today. You're alive today. People lost their lives in this storm. People lost everything they had in this storm. People can't find their loved ones in this storm. So what is going on? All I know is that God is in charge, and all I know is that God is the one that moves, and God is the one that does whatever is going on. He's in charge. I don't understand it. I don't have an explanation for it other than just wait and see what God is up to. When your time is up, the way you're going to go, only God knows. So just understand that and find rest in Christ. People will praise the Lord that they've survived. People will praise the Lord that even their loved ones who passed away in this storm will still be able to praise the Lord because God's in charge. Now, this is a hard thing, but this is the Christian walk. When you don't understand why things are like they are, there's a great comfort knowing that he understands. Now, you're either going to draw closer to him in this time, or you're going to move away from him in this time. I choose to move closer to him because I think he knows everything and we know something. Well, that was another sermon altogether. Left side. You shall march around. Listen to this. This is great. You're Joshua. There's going to be a battle. You know all this. And this is what God says to Joshua. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. You say, well, okay, what would you be thinking? Is this a battle plan for you? Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you already know the story, don't you? This ingenious plan comes from God. This is an ingenious plan because it comes from God. It makes no sense to human beings that you're going to march around the city, you're going to blow ram's horns, and you're going to march around the seventh day seven times, and what is going on? What is going on? Well, we already know the story, but imagine if you didn't know. So if Joshua just read the Bible, he'd know. Please don't say that in front of me. I might not be able to control my laughter. But are you serious? It's like the lady just said, I don't care. I don't care about the farmers. I get my food at the grocery store. That was a statement. Verse 5, continuing. God is telling Joshua, it shall be that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. There's a couple of things about this that are very intriguing, and I just want to belabor the point a little bit. First of all, you circle around every day once for 6 days. The seventh day you go seven times around, and then the trumpets are blown and everybody shouts. Now they told them the first six days everybody's got to be real quiet. Don't make any noise. Now, I don't know about you. I think if we took this room full of people outside and said, then we're going to march around this building and I don't want anybody to say anything, I don't think we can do it. I don't mean to judge anybody, but I just don't think we can do it. But so there's a miracle in the Bible right there. But anyway, when they march around seven times, the trumpets were blown, and they shouted, and the walls fell down. And it fell down flat. I'm amazed. So, well, it must have been some kind of thing, a trick that, you know, they knew about surrounding and shouting, and they would have. Isn't it amazing, a miracle that they knew that? I don't know if they knew that. I don't even know if that's a thing. Some of you are way smarter than I am on all of that kind of stuff. You let me know later if you know how that happened. All I know is God said to do it, they did, and it happened. That's all I need to know about a lot of things. I mean, there's some phenomenon that God has fixed from eternity past that will happen in time while we're alive that have been that way all along. The rotation of all of the planets and all of the things in the universe going to happen at a certain time and all the things that will take place. We don't know how that works. Some of us know more than others. And I just like to be right. It's a flaw that I have. I like to be right, so I just quote the Bible just like it is and leave it alone. And if you believe it or don't believe it, that's your business. My business is to tell you what it says. This is the faith of the faithful. All of the people of Israel place their trust in God. Look at what happens. I could spend a lot of time on this subject, but look at what happens. Joshua has taken the place of Moses. Why are all the people in Israel trusting Joshua? You remember sometimes they question Moses. Why are they trusting Joshua? Well, you have to read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See what happened. There's a little thing called a miracle, kind of a sub-miracle compared to the Red Sea splitting, but the Jordan River, when they were going to cross the Jordan River. You remember the priest took the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So you know all about that. If you haven't read the Bible, you've seen the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just getting a little bit of an idea. Well, they carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River, and as they were bearing up the Ark of the Covenant, they stopped in the middle of that river. God told them to do that. And when they did, speed up the story, they ended up walking over on dry land. Sound familiar? On dry land, and they all got across. And then they put a heap of stones to remember that. Joshua put the heap of stones right there in the middle of the Jordan River. Then they took 12 stones, and 12 stones made that heap, 12 other stones they took to their camp, and they ended up putting those stones up in Gilgal, another town. That's a jumbled way to tell it all, but that's what happened. So that happened before we got to this point. So they trusted Moses. They trusted Joshua, because they saw that God was with Joshua just like he was with Moses, so they trusted him. Now, I don't know if that's going to last. People, you know how that goes, but they trusted Joshua. They saw that. Now they had their trust in him as a leader, and he led them, and they listened. And when he said, let's do this, I know how we can defeat the army, how we can defeat the people of Jericho. I know how we can do it. God said, let's circle them 6 times for 6 days, and in the 7th day, 7 times, we'll shout, trumpets will blow, we'll shout, and the walls will fall down. And they believed it. And they believed it. They believed it. What? Wouldn't you have questioned that? Circle around, trumpet shout. What's going to happen now? Now Joshua knew that the Lord would tell him the truth, and the people knew that the Lord would tell them the truth, and they believed. Some people think we're crazy. We believe in things, and they think, oh, you must believe in a bunch of fairy tales. And yet, look at what they believe. You know, you don't want to leave this world without knowing Jesus. He is the only hope. He's the only way. He is a very loving and kind Savior. But when you reject him, you have no more hope. And so we need to understand that believing is extremely important. So, well, I don't understand how it all works. I know. But we know that it does. The Bible, believe what it says. No matter what anybody tells you, believe it. That's why they call us believers. We believe it. And we know it's true. We've seen what God has done. But the world out there is just trying to figure it out. Let's help them figure it out. Back to the story here in Joshua. Well, actually in Hebrews, but we'll go back to Joshua again. The second part I've called the faith of the fallen. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. I am almost positive that when we get to heaven, Rahab the harlot will say, can you stop that? I'm not Rahab the harlot anymore. But she's identified as Rahab the harlot. She, somewhere along the line, something happened to Rahab. Rahab believed. So, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you said that. It's right here. Joshua chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read some verses. I'm not going to read it all because we don't have time. Although, you don't have anywhere to be. You want to go clean up your yard or chainsaw a few logs. I don't know. Take a shower. No. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. We were going to divide the church up today between the showered and the unshowered. But we're very gracious and kind. We can all sit together and endure this. I'm just kidding. I'm going to leave it alone. Maybe. I'll leave it alone. The city shall be under the ban. This is Joshua talking. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in her house, in the house, shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. Now, you know the story. They sent 2 spies into Jericho to check out what was going on in Jericho. And what these 2 spies did is they went to the place where Rahab the harlot was. Because, just giving you information, we sent the kids out of the room. You could go there and people wouldn't suspect what are these people doing going there. Is that enough said? Good. They went there, and here's the rest of the story. From Joshua chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Now, she hid them. She put them up on the roof and hid them under some flax that was up there on the roof and hid them there. And she told them a lie about where they were. She said, they're not here. They must have made a, they went that way. They must have really gotten off far off. You might better go find them. So they went. Hold on, we'll talk about lying in a minute. And said to the man, I know that this, listen to what this lady says. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. She said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She has, something has happened in her life, in her heart. She now recognizes the Lord. Now, Jericho, that was not the case. The Lord was not recognized as the Lord, but she recognizes him as the Lord. For we have heard how the Lord, there it is again, dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, so Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. That means they were killed. Utterly destroyed. Now she says, we heard how the Lord did this, how the Red Sea was split. We heard about what God did. We heard about it. You know what? I wonder when it kicks in that those who are fallen, those who are immoral, those who are living a lifestyle that is way outside of what God has told us to live, those people that are terrible, and by the way, that's the only kind we have. It's just some people are more terrible than others. We kind of judge each other that way, but I want you to understand. When is it that they say, hold on, I heard what God did. She not only heard what God did, she believed it. And she believed that God did it. That's pretty good right there. Isn't that what has to happen? Did you hear what God did on one Friday when Jesus, his son, died on a cross to pay for your sins? Did you hear about that? Did you hear on the third day that he rose from the dead? Did you hear about that? Somebody somewhere in his or her sin is saying, you know, I heard that. And you know, I believe that's true. And faith, the faith of the fallen, brings you to a place of redemption. You become a child of God. Well, God doesn't want any children of God who are harlots. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yeah, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes you might look at other people as you think you're better than they are. Where is your righteousness? If you have any, it's in Christ. You didn't have it on your own. And you may be closer to hell than somebody you think is worse than you are because you think you're good. And you are no good. There is none righteous, no, not one. But there is hope. And Jesus is our hope. And hearing what God has done and believing what God has done, that's what we do all the time here at Five Forks. We hear what God's word says and we believe it. We believe what he says. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful to see what God is doing. It says, when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What? Rahab the harlot is saying this? How can this possibly be that someone like her could be schooling us on what to believe? It isn't what she says. It's what God has said. It's not what she's done. It's what God has done. And when, I like to call it this way, God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And if he ever uses you to tell somebody the truth, he's drawn a straight line with a crooked stick. You've got to know you're crooked. You need help. And Jesus helped you. And this is an amazing story of grace. The faith of the fallen comes when we tell people what God has done and they believe it. And they hear it and they believe it. And it's a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful. We want everybody who passes by here, everybody who hears anything about Five Forks Baptist Church, we want them to hear that what God has done. And we want them to believe it and find salvation in Christ. That's beautiful. Now let's look at the faith that destroys fortresses. And this is where we'll spend the remainder of our time. This is from 2 Corinthians 10. This passage came to my mind. As a matter of fact, those of you who are note takers, you know that's where you write down things that are said. If you're doing that, you already are going, the bulletin, the outline in the bulletin is not what you're doing. I'm sorry. That was printed on Thursday, and this is Sunday. I can't be responsible for that. I decided to change the outline, so those of you who are frustrated, that's still a good outline for, you know, us all, but this is what I think, I changed it just almost after it was printed, so we're going to be all right. This is what I want us to focus on, because how do you take all that we've talked about and apply it to your life? How does this fit you? And I know how it fits, and here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What kind of fortresses are we going to tear down? What kind of walls are going to fall because of our faith? I think I know. Because I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I'm pretty sure that we're not going to be a physical army that is going to go march around a physical wall in a physical city and all the stuff and see the wall fall down. And then we're going to go in there and do battle with those people. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. Just saying, if it does, I'll say I was wrong. But I do know what's going to happen, and I do know what's happening right now, even in this room today, and what's going to happen all week long, what's going to happen the rest of your life until Jesus calls you home, and that is you're going to have battles, and you're going to have to tear down fortresses. You're going to have to destroy fortresses, and these fortresses are a whole lot harder to tear down than physical fortresses. You'll wish that you could encircle a city six times and then seven times and seven times on the seventh day and shout and watch a wall fall down. But that would be easy compared to this. Because this is where the battle really is. This is a battle that Rahab won. The initial winning of this battle, what fortress came down in her life? That fortress, that wall that said, hey, wait a minute, I don't know about that God that they talk about. And somewhere in her heart, she said, I do believe. And she placed her faith in God. And here we have people who, I believe in God. I place my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, where are you? We walk in the flesh. Last time I checked, when you came in today, you brought your flesh with you. Thank you. Some people say, I'll be there in spirit only. No, don't do that. That's spooky. Always bring your body when you come. We walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. We don't war. It is not that we fight physically with our flesh. No, no, no. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What kind of fortresses do we tear down? What kind of faith destroys walls and brings down walls in our lives? I mean, for being practical today, you could go home and say, we've got a good Bible story about Joshua and the battle of Jericho and the walls falling down. Wasn't that great? Let's just go home and have a good time. Well, no. This is where life hits you. He says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And I'll explain verse 6 in a minute, but I want you to hear what he's saying. Our battles are in our minds. Our battles are in what we think. What you think precedes what you do. And it's our thoughts, it's what we think. Rahab began to think the right things. That's called repentance. We need to repent daily and change our thinking. What change our thinking on everything. Whatever you're dealing with right now, God is working in your life to bring you to a certain point, and you need to change the way you see it. Change the way you think about it and see what God does. There are some things that we've been assaulted. Our minds have been bombarded with speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We send our children to schools, and we have to kind of tell them, wait a minute, hold on now. What they said there was wrong. What they taught there was wrong. Got to, you know, when they said that, they were right. But when they said that, we're right. Why do we have to do all of that? Because there's speculations. Every lofty thing that's against the knowledge of God. Why can't we talk about God in schools? Why can't we talk about Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, in schools? Why can't we teach the Bible in schools? Not that I want people who don't understand the Bible teaching the Bible to our children, but why can't we carry a Bible to school without being ridiculed? What's going on in our world? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. And the battle's in our minds. And the world is winning the fight for the minds of our children. They are. And it's sad. And sometimes your children, and I'm talking about you can have children from birth all the way up until they die, they're still your children, right? And there's a battle going on. And sometimes if you're are you one of those Bible breath people? Everything you say just seems like you're talking about the Bible. And they act like it's a bad thing sometimes. I say, wait a minute. What's bad about that? So, well, I understand if you're quoting verses to everybody and you feel like you're superior to them. I understand that stinks. That's terrible. But when you're saying, well, you know, the Bible says that. Well, you know, I learned in science class that that's not true. The Bible's just a fairy tale book. And all. Oh, you did. Oh, you're so smart. I'm so scared at how smart you are. You really think you're brilliant? You think people that taught you that? Where? What, you're questioning me, your dad, and the teacher's right. How'd that happen? Well, you know, teachers are smart. Well, who do you think I am? I'm teaching you right now. The truth is the truth. And you better find out what it is. And if you don't believe the truth, you won't be set free. And you're all bound, and there's a wall up, and you say, I don't know. Build a wall, build a wall, build a wall. I don't want to hear that. But one day, the truth will hit that wall, and that wall will come down. Rahab experienced it, maybe you'll experience it too. Our children are our most precious gifts from God. And we need to break down and destroy the fortresses in our thoughts and help them break down the fortresses in their thoughts. And it's a battle. It's a tough battle. I don't know how we're going to do on this. It's harder than anything you've ever done. It's hard enough when you got it figured out. You say, finally I came to Christ. Finally my life's been changed. Finally I get it. And you say, what about Junior? Well, Junior's not there yet. He ain't got it yet. Well, how did that happen? So I feel like a failure. I'm teaching a parenting class. By the way, the classes are canceled tonight. Sorry about that. So I won't be teaching any parenting class tonight. But I'll say this. In teaching a parenting class, one thing we've learned, we all failed. Every parent's terrible. That's why we start out. Everybody's wrong. We mess up. So I don't want to hear how I messed up. Well, that's all we have. Because nobody does it perfectly. But I want to tell you this. It doesn't mean you ought not try. It doesn't mean you ought to give up. It means you ought to say, hey, I want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That everything I think would be obeying Christ. That every time I think something, it would be in obedience to Christ. If that's where you start, you're going to end well. You're going to end well. And if you can teach our children that you're responsible to me, oh yeah, but whoa, 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 no, you're responsible to God. I'm just here serving God as your parent, but you're responsible to God. You belong to God. We gave you to God a long time ago. God created you. He sustained you. You belong to God. It's all God all the time. Tell your children that. Tell them that. And then Paul says here, we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. He tells the Corinthian church, I love the Apostle Paul, but they were afraid of him. He's probably about my height or shorter, bald-headed, and probably ugly. I think his qualification for being a great apostle. But anyway, he said, we're ready to punish all disobedience. What he said, and I'm coming there. When I get there, we're going to punish all the disobedient people. It's called church discipline. He didn't say we might or might do. They said, we're coming, we're going to do that. But I'm going to give you a chance to be obedient. You obey the Lord, and when we get there, we're going to settle things. Well, who does he think he is? Do you know he never asked that question? Who do you think I am? Well, he did in that passage. He told him who he is. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm an apostle of Christ. I'm here to serve Christ. I'm here to serve Christ on your behalf. And if you don't like it, too bad. It's just, and I'm just going to give you a little tidbit of information. Take it the right way, please. God called me here to be the pastor. We're going to punish the disobedience. But now, how are we going to do that? I don't really know. We got to work that out. But I'm going to tell you what. We're not trying to hurt anybody. I want every soul and a part of this church to be helped. That you can't live a lifestyle that's destroying your life and us just watch you wave at you as you pass by the parade of life. No. We're going to have to point it out and say, hey, look. Now, I'm not talking about going publicly with different people's private problems. I'm talking about, hey, you need to know that your life needs to straighten up. Help your family, help yourself, help your children. Is that what church is supposed to be like? Is that the way it is in a family? Well, we're a family. Our problem is we're not doing it in our families. So we don't see it in our church. We've got a problem. We got more problems than we know what to do with. And it all starts with our minds. We've got mind problems. We don't mind God. We need help. God gives us help. God gives us help. Now, this is a very personal, kind of difficult message. You thought, well, I'm glad we're having services today. Now you're thinking, I'm not so sure I'm glad. This sounds painful, but it is not painful. Unless you just plan on continuing rebelling against God, it's going to be real painful then. But if you're going to say, look, I want to walk with Jesus. Life is too short and too hard for me to try to do it on my own. I just want to walk with Christ. And the way we prepare for the Lord's Supper in a service like this, and in any service we have the Lord's Supper, we first look at ourselves and we say, Lord, where am I in my life? How am I walking with you? Is every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Is that where I am in my life? You say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm just going to kind of work towards that. Where did you learn that? Where did you learn that in the church? In reading the Bible, well, I'm not right with God right now. I'm out of fellowship with God. I'm just kind of work towards being right with God. Where did you get that? You go before the Lord right now and say, Lord, I give everything to you. And I'm going to walk in fellowship with you, and I start right now. You can be right now. What are you waiting on? You're waiting on because you're what? You want to enjoy sin longer? You're waiting on because you want to be miserable longer? Why are you waiting? There's no time to wait. Today's the day. It does not depend on you. It depends on Christ in you. He gives you the strength to overcome. And the fortresses are going to come down in your life. They will. If you'll say, Jesus, here I am, everything is yours. Every minute of the day, I'm going to bring every thought captive to obedience to Christ. When I move over that way, God, I'm going to get on my knees and say, bring me back right now. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to walk with Jesus, even if nobody else does. I'm going to do that. And that should be everybody's commitment in this room today. And we come to the Lord's Supper and we say, Lord, we're going to proclaim your death till you come. It's not a religious ritual. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done. And this would be a mockery to God if we say, hey, I'm going to go live my life any way I want to. Oh, we're having the Lord's Supper. I want to just go live the way. Really? Is that the way you see it? You stay in your seat. And you don't partake of the Lord's Supper. You hope that God has mercy on your soul. And if you're a believer in Christ and you're acting like that and thinking like that, God have mercy on you, because he spanks his children. Oh boy, he does. We haven't gotten to that chapter yet. So what chapter, what day is that, Sunday is that? I won't be here for that one. Watch out. So listen, we're going to have a time of prayer. We just want to ask God to help us draw close to him. That every person here today would just draw close to him. And as we do, God will bless us. He'll strengthen us, and he'll make us what he wants us to be. And so let's do that and ask God to do that as we pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, today for your mercy and your grace towards us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a way to be right with you. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do we say a prayer for us?
Let us pray. Father, we come to this table today, knowing that these elements are just representative of the body and blood of our Savior. And Lord, we know, Father, that you allowed him to sacrifice and give of his body to be beaten and bruised to pay the penalty that we as sinners could not pay on our own. Father, let us never forget that. Let us never take that for granted. Father, and just through that work are we justified and worthy to be standing here before you today.
The Bible says, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Ben, will you pray for us?
Dear Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the blood that you allowed, that one drop could cleanse us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have with that. Lord, thank you for the blessing you gave us. Thank you for Jesus to die on the cross and be the sacrifice to just cleanse our world, to cleanse us, and just make us whole again. Lord, we thank you for this cup and this opportunity to be able to just focus on you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Drink it all. Let's all stand together and be dismissed today and ask God to bless you as you go. If you know of anybody who is in desperate need that we can help, please let us know. I know that's one of those things that could be overwhelming, but we don't always know who needs things, and you may think we do. I'd rather hear it twice than not at all. So if you know somebody who has a need, please let us know. Communication ought to be better than it was yesterday. So do that. Yeah. Scott, would you close us in prayer, brother?
Let's sing ourselves out today. How about that? Let's sing Amazing Grace together as we go out.